Well, good evening. How are you? Great. Better than we deserve. All right. On Wednesday nights, we've been walking through quick little snapshots. We're taking a little step by step as we move towards a theology and understanding of heaven. And we began the first week by asking the question from an eternal perspective, right? Is your name written in the Lamb's Book of Life? How are you saved? How can you know you're saved? And we walk through the gospel, understanding it with clarity and certainty, and then hopefully leaving here with that assurance. My name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Last week, drawing a blank. Oh, we talked about the ascension and what occurred in heaven and the importance of you understanding that that transaction was paid in full, okay? Paid in full. That the heavenly judge on the heavenly throne has viewed things, and you may be, the enemy may come and accuse you and tear you up, but the reality is in heaven, it is paid in full. It is finished. Hallelujah. Absolutely. I'm glad we remembered that. All right, today, in our short time together, I want to talk about a common theology thought, even incorrect thinking, and that is soul sleep, okay? Soul sleep. It's the idea. As we're working our way through, sometimes I'm going to spend time just correcting some false ideas of heaven. The idea of soul sleep is that when someone dies, the body obviously remains here, but that their soul sleeps from that moment until the end of time when Jesus returns, okay? That's the idea of soul sleep. It's held by Jehovah's Witness. It's held by Seventh-day Adventists. It is incorrect theology, and we're going to walk through that real quickly this evening, and I'll show you why that matters. Now, the idea comes from, there are a number of times in Scripture when death is referred to as sleep. Okay, 1 Thessalonians 4:13. I do not want you to be unaware, brethren, about those who have fallen asleep. Now, in that instance, I would tell you this is figurative language. This is a metaphor because it looks like the body is sleeping. That is what is being referred to. That sometimes in language we speak softly about harsh subjects. It makes them a little more palatable, and so it seems easier to simply refer to death as sleep, okay? The reason that this is important, I could quickly exegete and show you a couple of scriptures that teach the exact opposite of soul sleep. 2 Corinthians 5:6-8, Paul specifically says there, to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. Philippians 1:13, he has this extended discussion about he does not know whether he's going to die or live. He is he's incarcerated. He knows that this date in Rome is awaiting him, and he doesn't know whether he's going to live or die, and he's wrestling through it in his argumentation, and he says, for me to depart is to be with Christ, and that is so much better, okay? Additionally, with the thief on the cross, you know, Jesus turns to the thief right beside him and says, today you will be with me in paradise, Luke 23:43. All of those are just a quick kind of proof texting of the regard. I want to walk with you with my short time left through John chapter 11. I want to show you the incredible importance of this. In John chapter 11, Lazarus has died. Jesus has gotten word. Jesus is not there. He is a 2 days journey away. No, he's a 4 days journey away. And he's gotten news that Lazarus is sick, and he intentionally waits 2 extra days before he goes and goes back to Bethany where Lazarus is. By the time Jesus gets back, Lazarus has been in the grave for 4 days, okay? Mary and Martha are Lazarus's sisters. They're very close to him. We do not know the exact family dynamics, but all three of them are living together, intricately tied as family. When Jesus is approaching, there are two responses. Mary is much more somber. She's overwhelmed with sorrow. She stays in the house, and she's deeply saddened and hurting by Lazarus's death. Martha is, it's like the complete opposite personality. Martha is the go out and talk to Jesus, kind of meet him on the road and ask him questions, right? She has anger, and she has been bottling this up, especially when she heard that Jesus did not immediately come. And so she meets Jesus on the road with questions and statements, all right? It's okay to respond to death in these two ways, sorrow or even anger and confusion. And so Martha meets Jesus on the road and begins to say to him and to lament, "He would not have died if you had been here. Where were you?" Right? You get this passion, like, "Where were you?" Jesus replies, "He will rise again." Martha's response is soul sleep. She says, "I know he will rise again at the end of time." Okay? She's believing soul sleep. He slept. I know when the end of time comes, he will be resurrected, and then we will move forward. But in that moment, that doesn't provide a great deal of comfort to her. She's angry. She wanted her brother back. It's to that statement that Jesus provides for us one of the most incredible statements in the whole of Scripture about who he is. It is to that statement that he says, no, you don't get it, Martha. I am the resurrection and the life. Okay? I am the resurrection of the life. What you are thinking about eternal life misses the category so much you aren't even comprehending correctly who Jesus is. And to prove his statement, Jesus walks over to the grave and resurrects Lazarus out of the grave. Why? Because what he is saying with this entire movement and the way it so contrasts with soul sleep is this. You don't understand. The moment you place your faith in Jesus Christ, you have eternal life. You are eternally alive. You had to know him is to have eternal life. So I placed my faith in Jesus when I was 15. From that moment on, I have eternal life. And the whole idea of soul sleep, that there would be a moment where you just sleep and stop and are still all the way until the end, that whole idea is so contrary to Jesus's view on, no, you don't understand. That view is terrible because in me you have eternal life. This is why this is important. Have you placed your faith in Jesus Christ? Then you have right now eternal life. You cannot, will not be separated from the Heavenly Father, from God, because it is paid in full, it is finished, it is done. You have eternal life. That's why he walked over to the grave, raised Lazarus out, said, "See, he's alive. He's alive." Because God is the God of the living. Why does this matter? Because every one of us in this room have loved ones who have died in Christ. And to have the assurance to know to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. So that you can rest assured, just contemplate right now, they're in the presence of the Lord. They're alive. They're more alive than you and I are. We see dimly. Everything's faint for us. I get tired. I get sick. I need naps. Okay? To be absent, they are alive. And not only that, for you to know that you may see in part, that you may have trials, that you may have difficulties and ups and downs, and you may get sick and you may face new trials and you may be filled with doubt and confusion, but the truth of the matter still remains, you are alive in Christ Jesus, eternally alive. And so the whole idea of sleeping and stopping and starting is so foreign and so against what I am the resurrection and the life. You understand? Anyone who is in me will never die. Guys, that's us. Eternal life. Because he awoke me from the dead with the good news of his son, wooed my heart and called me to him, allowed me to see the beauty of all that he has done for me. And by faith, I place my faith in him, and by his grace, he has washed over me. And I have good days and bad days, but the reality is I am resting and I am assured, and we are in him, eternally alive. Would you pray with me? Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you that Jesus is the resurrection and the life. On good days and bad days, on days I'm tired, on days I'm filled with energy, on days I make bonehead mistakes, God, you are life. And we know you because of your Son, and we are in your Son, and therefore we are always eternally alive. What good news. Hallelujah. Help us to walk out in that truth. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.